Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Gabrielle Union strived for the perfection her father always demanded, but as a dark-skinned Black girl, she never felt like she was enough. In our new series, Gabrielle Union, Bigger, Badder, Better, we'll tell you how she learned to embrace the things that scared her and let go of her need to be perfect.
Listen to Even the Rich on Amazon Music or wherever you get your podcasts.
Watch What Crappens, Watch What Crappens, who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens.
Crappens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on Ye Olde Bravo. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is the one, the only, the hilarious Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Well, hello. How are you, Ben? Good to see you, babe.
Good to see you, too. Well, we're here. Obviously, like, it's no longer a thing to say that we're doing Crappens on Demand, because, like, really every episode now, almost every episode is on video. But what's special about this one is that Ronnie made a fun little stinger at the beginning of the episode, so that was fun to watch and listen to. Thanks for making that. That was
our production. I love that. Quality, Hedy Long. Thank you, YouTube. All right, getting a little production over there. Yes, you can get all of our episodes now on, well, most of them on YouTube the week after they are aired. They air originally on Crappens on Demand, so if you want these right when they come out, just go become a member on Patreon. And thank you to everybody who already is. You also get all of our bonus episodes when you do that. So thanks for everybody for the support. Okay,
well, yeah, whoa, it's really cool. We're really trying to step up our video game, and really my have a huge amount of gratitude to you, Ronnie, because you've been doing a lot of this beautiful work here, including this gorgeous border that we're encapsulated in. So anyway, while we are not tooling around on video, we are also going on tour. Only a few shows left. Starting in June, we're resting right now, but in June it's the race to the end, I guess you could say. Six shows left until the end of the tour, and then we are off for the rest of the year. So it's now or never. June 9th, we're going to San Diego. June 15th, St. Paul. June 16th, Chicago. June 17th, Columbus, Ohio. June 23rd, Boston. And June 24th, the grand finale at the Foxwoods Casino in Connecticut. So go to watchwhatcrappens.com and get your tickets there. We really hope to see all of you at those big shows. Let's end it on a high note, shall we? It's going to be a fun June for all of us. There'll be some really good stuff on Bravo to talk about. So really looking forward to it. Today, we are talking about Real Housewives of Atlanta, Season 15, Episode 3. And this is the first episode that we get the taglines. I didn't even realize that we hadn't gotten our taglines yet, but they are here. They've arrived. I have to say, I don't feel like this is the best batch of taglines we've heard. You know, they're okay. They're solidly okay. But I feel like Atlanta usually has some better taglines.
There's a lot of trying to make positive things out of negative things in these, which I like. But I don't know. Let's just go through them, because honestly, I wish I could have a hot take for you on this. I already forgot what they were. Okay. I watched this show literally 10 minutes ago. I finished watching it. I will say the title of this show is A Star is Reborn, and I would have to disagree with that. I'm not really sure how Drew's was a star being reborn, unless you're talking about like one of those reborn dolls that look like real newborns, that they're all like really weird looking and like just not saying she's weird looking. I'm just saying the musicality itself, you know,
right,
was akin to a reborn doll. Otherwise, not like, really sure, but we'll get to that.
I feel like a star had a pregnancy scare. It's more like not a star is born, but a star was a pregnancy scare. Like it was a glimmer of like for a moment you could imagine possibilities of like going down the line and thinking about all the possibilities, but then very quickly it's like, oh, the second and third pregnancy test said no, negative, and so the entire notion was retired.
Yes, a star went through fertility treatments or something.
a star read a book about starting a family.
Yes. A star's husband wrote a book about raising a baby that his wife wasn't even pregnant with yet, by Ralph Pittman.
A star ate a lot of ice cream.
Totally. You know, just I thought when you were talking about A Star Is Pregnant, at first I thought you were saying you were talking about that clip from next week of Sheree in the doctor and the OB saying, "Are you trying? Are you trying to be pregnant?" Sheree going, "Trying for what? Are you, what in the Ramona Singer is going on? Are you trying to make my ass believe that Sheree is pregnant? No, ma'am. Okay. No show. How dare you show? You will not toy with me anymore like this, Bravo."
Bravo sometimes tries this. They did it with Tamara, too. She's like, "Oh, my God, I might be pregnant." They do.
Tamara,
this.
Who I believe I've also called an actual reborn doll before. Oh, and she had the reborn doll storyline. Remember when that's the same story you're talking about, where she wanted to be pregnant again. So she had a fake reborn baby to see if
Kenya
she could
did
handle
too.
It. And then that baby erased her. Do you remember? The baby like refused to speak to her ever again. God, that was a good storyline.
Wow, yeah. Erased by a doll. It was a wild time. Orange County seen it all. And then
when you
she was
give
actually...
birth to a doll, but you're the Chucky.
And then that doll went and evicted Lynn Curtin from her house. So it was just the doll was doing everything. A lot of heavy lifting.
So breaking news, you heard it here first. There is no way in hell Sheree is pregnant. Oh, also I just wanted to say, just for your food for thought for you, Ben, and the audience, I'm doing something a little different today. I got new headphones that just kind of hang on my ear for some reason. Yeah. Okay. Because we were playing around with backgrounds and it was making it less fuzzy. So I was like, I'm going to try the, well, they're not soundproof headphones. And so now I'm realizing that all I do is yell and scream the whole time, which is why my head hurts by the end of this podcast. And I'm so sorry to the audience and you, Ben, but if you need me to yell the whole time, just please tell me to go back to the other headphones if I sound like I have no energy or whatever. I don't know. It's a journey
wonderful.
Today. It's a YouTube journey.
You sound
journey.
Wonderful. You sound fine. And I like your headphones. They give you sort of like a Legolas, like a brunette Legolas kind of thing going on here. I am sticking with my chunky headphones, which is why on the video I have all sorts of distortion behind me. And my chair is also can't decide whether it wants to be part of the background or not part of the background. So I'm coming in and out. You know, it's professional as always over here.
You're going to need, I think we're going to have to get like the full green screens like YouTubers have, you know, and they have those big gamer chairs. Okay, bro. And then they've got like gamer chairs and stuff.
Multicolored, like red and black. Yeah. I'm not going to do that, but I will investigate a green screen for sure, but I'm not going to change my chair. This was a
good
high quality
you.
IKEA chair. You know, I'm going to take a stand.
Good for you, Ben.
I'm taking a stand by sitting in this chair. But I will look into a green screen. I think it'll be fun. We're playing around, obviously. Okay, so so that's how good Drew Sidora's line was, you know? Okay, so Candy. Candy is, "My roots are in Atlanta, but my branches are worldwide." Okay, that's cool. But it sort of makes me think of Candy as like a strange old oak tree, you know? Like it's a little too literal for me. You know,
I feel like there's elves in her. Like there's some elves about to pop out of Candy and start trying to fight Todd.
It's like a little too like into the woodsy. It's a little too like, I am an old tree, you know?
Yeah. I figure like you're not a Wells Fargo. You know what I mean? Nobody cares about your branches. I love that you got to say worldwide again, but too much. And then Drew's is, "Forget the gaslight. I'm taking the spotlight." Oh, no, you're still being gaslit too, girl. Okay, we've seen the poster for your music, which Ralph is posing in. So
you are literally gaslighting yourself by thinking you're in the spotlight. Like, you are very confused about all the lights. Marlo's is, "My past may be checkered, but my future is solid gold." I'm not sure. Is that like a reference to the old TV show Solid Gold? I wasn't sure. I feel like there's a pun there that I'm missing. And I feel like I'm dumb because
it's
I don't get
easy,
it.
It's too easy. And it's for me. And again, unless I'm missing something, it's a little too easy for me. And I thought it was going to be something a little more like, "My past may be checkered, but my present is chess." Or I don't know, like something housewives-y, but my future is solid gold. I don't know. She does have people from the mall come down and deliver things to her car. So I'm with that. And then Candy brings up her slashing that girl in the face again, which Marlo's like, how dare you bring that up? Listen, I know it was 23 years ago. I think people should be forgiven for sure. I don't know that people are going to stop bringing that up, although I was shocked that Candy did it. But again, we'll get there soon. Okay.
Yeah.
Go with checkered. The next one.
Well, you know, it's, well, I sort of get it because it's kind of like my past may be checkered. So it's like an allusion to Mackenzie's child, you know, or Mackenzie Childs. And she's like, I went from Mackenzie Child to now something that's actually like worth something like gold, you know?
Maybe. Or she has like gold coming out, like some gold jewelry line or something. We'll see. So yeah. The next one is Kenya. I just don't do it for the culture, honey. I am the culture.
Now, I would love it if there were a tie-in that, like, this season, Kenya's making her own yogurt, because that would be perfect for me. Yes. I mean, I understand what she's saying about the culture, but if you could just add another layer to it, I would be really happy.
She definitely should have had this during the pandemic season, because people were really into cultures then. Or, like, I may be in the beginning, but I'm not just a starter, honey. it could be like a reference to Kenya's sourdough starter.
Like, I don't have sour grapes. I have sourdough. Kenya doing pandemic activities as her tagline.
Why would you wear a mask when your face looks this good? People are like, wait a minute. Whoa, Kenya, whoa.
I may play Animal Crossing, but you're an animal. You're an animal. She's just workshopping her line as she says it.
You're just getting your own pandemic into that. Your own Animal Crossing love.
I was like, what did we do during the pandemic? Played Animal Crossing, made sourdough and yogurt.
Yeah. Gained 200 pounds. I mean, that was fine. It was fun. So then this is another negative one that is being turned into a positive. The first was Drew's. Forget the gaslight. Like, she's trying to make that into a positive. Next is Cherie's website going down because she didn't pay Host Monster enough money. Okay?
Yeah.
Or Alligator Monster, whatever the hell she's on. So hers is, she by Cherie? More like, she broke the internet. The internet broke you. The internet broke you. Okay? Yeah, pay your alligator bill.
You're broken.
Your gator's alone.
You broke your website. Don't lead with the fact that you had a broken website. Like, that should not be your defining feature for the season.
Why are you bragging?
I'm fabulous, and I have a broken website. Like, you can't spin that. It was a broken website.
Your website was broken. Why are you trying to make it sound like that's something positive?
And then Sonia says, if you can't keep the pace, stay out of my race. Because I won Olympic gold.
Yeah. Okay, we get it. You run.
That's okay.
Okay, so then here we go. We start at Sheree's house, and she's with Jessica, the chef. And I'm only going to just assume that Jessica is prepaid, to which I will say, very smart move, Jessica. Jessica, I hope you're prepaid, okay? Because the entire last reunion was about how Sheree doesn't pay.
Oh, yeah. And Jessica made a whole bunch of food. She made a whole bunch of food for, I don't remember how many people came over, but it was not that many people. She made a whole bunch. Jessica seemed like she did great work, although I took umbrage with the bread she was using for her French toast. Did you notice that? It was a little thin, if you ask me. Jessica, I'm going to need you to do some Texas toast or some challah.
Well, actually, I corrected myself because my first note was Jessica making bread pudding with sandwich bread. How dare you? Okay. And then I had to amend that later in the scene when we saw that it was French toast. It was not bread pudding. So I forgave her. I don't need a huge bread with my French toast. So I was okay with it. Mm.
See, I look, I'm going to be happy with honestly any bread with my French toast. I have literally French toasted so many different kinds of breads. I've French toasted hot dog buns, hamburger buns. Like, I'll throw anything in there and French toast.
You know, my French toast version is, right? The French tortilla.
Get out.
Yeah, because I'm from El Paso.
How does that work?
So I make those for my sister. You French toasted tortilla. That's the easiest thing ever. It's amazing.
Wow, that's I love that. I love that. But I like a little bit of girth in my French toast because I like
we
it
know,
to be
Ben.
Yeah,
we
you know what? Like, I'm a French toast sides queen. I need it to be like crispy on the outside, but I like it kind of like soft, even like a little gooey on the inside. I like that. And sometimes when it's too thin, you're not going to get that.
I am like Ben is with girthy things, with French toast. I love all of it. I've never had a piece of French toast that was bad. I love any kind of bread cooked in anything topped with French. Literally, cook it in dog poop. I will eat it. Yeah. I love a cooked bread. So then we get a slow-mo entrance because it's Sonia coming up the drive. I'm like, it's Sonia, okay? The worst thing you could do is put her in slow motion. She's probably horrified.
I know.
What are you trying to get her to quit this show?
Yeah, and she's saying that she needed a week off after BravoCon. BravoCon keeps coming up on this show, but it actually sort of is impacting the storyline. But yeah, they're pretty much promoting BravoCon here. And people are arriving, Marlo's next and everything, and they're toasting with mimosas. And Marlo's like, I want to vent. I didn't even land till 3 a.m. and I'm in the airport doing a project with William on FaceTime, and it's an argumentative paragraph, and we're arguing. So... That's what she's bringing this season.
Yeah, because she's, listen, we know on these shows, nobody changes. Okay. They say you start the season by pretending you're going to change, but then by episode 3, you have not changed at all. That's the general rule. Now, this is episode 3. So we're going to see if Marlo has really changed or not. I wonder if this is going to, this magic trick is going to still work with Marlo, if we're going to be able to predict it. So, yeah, Marlo's now, you know, the Monty, and she's doing, what was it called? Monty?
Monty. Glamty. Monty. Monty, because it's like Monty. Mom and Auntie. Auntie. Yeah. Mom and Auntie. Monty. Monty. Monty.
Monty.
Monty.
I feel like Monty is like Mom T-ball. Papa? Where you're like, Papa? I have to go see my mom play T-ball, and then your mom's like.
Your mom's wearing a visor. Like, hey, I picked up a new hobby. T-ball's not just for kids anymore.
And your mom's just being abusive to other people. It's just a new venue for her to be abusive to people. Fuck off, Cheryl. Didn't you see the the ball is literally sitting on the stick, Cheryl, you fucking idiot. Like, my mom's just sitting there getting drunk in the stands.
It's the funniest story. I was telling Pam. I was like, I heard there's a thing where you go to a ball and they serve tea. So I signed up for it. Next thing you know, I'm at the community park wearing a helmet, hitting a ball off a peg, and I love it. I'm addicted.
I haven't run this fast since Mervyn's had its final sale in our city. Great time.
Oh, yeah, that was a great time. God, I realize how that was preparing me for my T-ball career.
Wow, I actually got a home run today. Your father expects to get one of those every time he takes out the trash. So,
yeah. Well, unfortunately, Joanne, she's been a real liability for our T-ball team. She just keeps hitting the stick part. So you got to hit the ball, Joanne. I think we have to get rid of her from the team.
Oh, hey, Cheryl, are you a pitcher or a catcher? I'm like, okay, enough with the homophobia, mothers. Okay, nobody needs to be asking that at T-ball.
So, the new pickleball, T-ball. So,
Mom T.
They call me Mom T because I'm the captain of the T-ball team. I feel pretty cool.
Okay, so Drew.
Ricky Wilson.
Sorry. So, Sonia is like, yeah, you know, BravoCon, it was so fun. Like, it was fun getting to see everybody. And, you know, I was just saying, like, the fans were so nice to you guys. Like, they really loved you guys. Which is Sonia's way of being like, my turn will come because I'm still a newbie, you know. But they, like, really loved everybody else, I guess.
Yeah, that was Sonia's way of saying, funny, I would just walk through the Javits Center and people wouldn't even say hello to me, but they sure loved you guys.
Yeah, it was really nice seeing you guys sign so many autographs while I stood there holding your umbrellas. That was fun. That was a good time.
So and then Marla's like, well, you all saw Mama Joyce, right? And so we cut to Andy on a panel saying, Mama Joyce, say three nice things about Todd. And she's like, well, he's still short. And everyone's like, oh. You know.
Yeah. Well, what else? You know, they're doing it on purpose. I feel like they're forcing Joyce into this. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not a Joyce apologist by any means. I would never apologize for anything Joyce said because she doesn't. Why should I? I don't think she deserves an apologist. She's not going to apologize. Here is what I am of Joyce. A fan and also a declarer that Joyce is a truth teller. And I'm sorry if everybody gets offended by that, but Joyce knows her shit. I'm not fucking with Joyce.
Yeah, I'm not fucking with Joyce at all. So Sheree tells us, like, she's still surprised that Mama Joyce would still be saying negative things about Todd. I'm like, that's literally Joyce's joy in life, by the way. Like, she's in her old age. Yeah. Don't take away her version of T-ball.
What do you want to not let her? What do you want to not let her carry butterscotch in her purse? Okay, this is an old woman's hobby. Let her have it.
So Marlo's like, Candy needs to stop talking about me. She needs to fix what's going on under her roof because the streets are talking, and the streets are your mama.
That was hilarious. So I feel bad jumping in to point out that Candy does not talk about you. You talk about
That's
Candy,
true.
And then she calls you out on it, and then you act like a huge fucking victim and cry for 3 hours of a reunion instead of just owning one fucking thing that you've done all season. Okay, ma'am?
Yeah.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
From Wondery comes a new series, Flipping the Bird, Elon versus Twitter, a story about what happens when the richest man on the planet decides to acquire a powerful social media company in the name of free speech. But does he have what it takes?
It started off promising.
Or is this all just about Elon?
He's essentially mad that his tweets aren't performing as well as he would have expected them to.
It really just felt like, okay, this really is just a platform being ruled by a dictator who does things on his own whims.
And what will be left of Twitter by the time he's done?
Basically, my entire team was gone. By the end of it, infrastructure was just completely gutted. He'll like tweet a thing and then everyone's like, we gotta work on that now because he tweeted it.
I'm supposed to believe this man is a genius.
It just felt like everything was kind of descending into chaos.
Follow Flipping the Bird wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to episodes ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.
So then Sonya's talking about how something happened with Drew. And Drew says, did I give you a hard time or did you try to pull a hard time for me?
BravoCon.
Yes. Okay, that was like, wait, what's going on? I'm right. Confused.
They said, did Drew give you a hard time on your first season? And Drew said, Did I give you a hard time or did you come pulling a hard time out of me? Now, that's a valid question because Sonya, again, sorry to have to correct everybody who's trying to rewrite history at the beginning of this episode. You were friends with Drew and then you turned on her for no reason to look good for the popular girls so you would fit in with them. So don't start this whole Drew did anything to you. Drew did nothing to you. You started it. You did. Wow.
You know what she started also? A 400-meter race. So, listen, you don't start things if you don't have experience in a starting block. So, Sonia's like, she's like, you know, when I left the reunion, there was like a lot that was unresolved with Drew and I. And like a couple of weeks ago, she said she wanted to extend an olive branch.
What's your accent?
Well, because she's, it's like, my accent's kind of like veering into Alexia, oddly enough.
It is. You're like, wait,
what do you know? Hello, I'm Alexia Echeverra, and I'm here presenting.
It's like Ultimate Sonya. Girls Trip. You're like, you know what I got to say about BravoCon? This is what I don't like about BravoCon. I'm going to tell you right now about
I was trying to infuse like the lightest Jamaican accent because her Jamaican accent is so subtle, but in the attempt at subtlety, I managed to somehow become Alexia.
I see Sonya. What you mean. She does get it. Like when she gets mad, she gets it a little bit. You know, she'll be like, don't come for me. You know? She gets it when she gets pissed off.
I was trying to find nuance in an accent that I'm not very good at.
Oh, I just don't have any nuance at all. So I don't think I recognize nuance. I was like, who are you? Are you nuance here? I don't.
Nuance is a new housewife, actually.
She's like a one-season wonder because no one ever understands a thing she's saying.
Yeah, she was married to someone else from like Belle Biv DeVoe. with Shamari, who makes a lovely little cameo. If Shamari had lasted another season, she would have been like, this is my friend Nuance.
Oh my God, we're cousins.
Anyway, so either way, Drew, Sonya says that a couple weeks ago, Drew like said that she wants to extend an olive branch, whatever. And so then she felt like Drew went and like flipped the script and Drew needs to cut it out because Sonya is over it.
Also, this isn't an olive branch. If we're fighting, don't send me a text saying, hey, you want to come to my mom's birthday? Not really. No. Would you like to apologize or send me a Snickers bar or like literally anything else but ask me to go to your mom's fucking party? I don't want to go to your mom's party. Who are you? Who's your mom? No.
No.
Olive branch.
We don't want to go to your mom's T-ball game.
Don't bring me an olive branch. Bring me a pizza. Okay, fuck your olive ranch.
Bring me olives. Bring me olives. I love olives.
Bring me a branch of the Olive Garden. Okay, take me to a branch of the Olive Garden while we're talking
about
branches.
Worldwide. Talk about worldwide. Olive Garden. Sorry, Candy. Olive Garden's got you beat. So Sheree is like, well, I had something to do at my fulfillment center. You can't be fulfilled unless you've got a fulfillment center after all. And Kenya dropped by. And we talked about the Martell stuff, and she felt like I was taking it for him, and no, I'm taking it for what's right. He feels ambushed. And so then she just tells us about, like, she feels like it's important for her friends to respect him because she thinks that he's funny and kind, and she doesn't see any of the cockiness that he has on his show. I'm like, well, that's because he's wooing you. He's like trying to get onto your show, Sheree. That's why he's not showing it.
Also, you're delusional, okay? Because he was just yelling at a woman in public last week, right in front of you. So then we go over to Ralph and Drew going rock climbing, okay? And then, of course, and I love how bitchy the people are with them because they walk in and the lady goes, oh, so are you guys day passes?
That's a great way to just... That's how I would have thought you would summarize their career on Bravo after their first season. Oh, you guys are day passes here, aren't you? But here they are, season three.
Okay, come on in. Come on in, enjoy your day. And Drew's like, yeah, guys, are these gym shoes okay? This is our date night, okay? We are so happy. Yes! So they go in, and Drew's telling us, last year, things got a little rocky with Ralph, and so we started seeing Dr. Ken for marriage therapy, even though we're in a great place. We want to keep it that way. And since we love a challenge, we're going to do something we both love. Sitting on a couch, watching back tapes that have been recorded in your living room without your knowledge. What? Because it's not rock climbing. It's certainly not rock climbing.
Is it coming up with, like, blatant Ponzi schemes? Is that what?
Is it putting before and after pictures on Instagram that are literally the same picture? What is it?
I'd like... how literal they are. She's like, you know, we had a rocky year last year, so we're going to climb out of it by literally rock climbing right now for you guys. Also, Drew, to me, I call the scene, will Drew break her leg again? Is this like an annual tradition? Because every season, Drew winds up in a foot cast because she keeps tearing her Achilles. And I was like, please, Drew, you keep destroying your legs. And that's okay. That happens in life. But could you also take care of your legs when you're rock climbing? Because we watch her at various times during the scene. When she has to rappel down from this wall, she just like flings herself off the wall and swings around like a sandbag, bouncing back and forth. I'm like, Drew, you're going to hurt your legs again. Come on now, Drew.
Okay, my computer just froze up a little bit, so I'm having to move to my notes onto my phone. So if it looks like I'm on my phone, guys, it's because I'm literally on my phone. Okay,
I can talk for 10 more minutes about Drew swinging around. Literally.
Drew trying to pretend like, that she's a rock climber was hilarious.
So they're climbing, and Ralph is, of course, losing his mind. He's like, use your legs, come on, you might. Oh, you're going to run and hit the wall. Jesus, Drew. Oh, he's getting so mad at her, and she's like tumbling down this rock wall and everything. And it's like, oh, come on, Drew. Oh, come on. You're supposed to stay straight. Come on, Drew. Repel, Drew. Come on, Drew. And when he realizes that this is not meant for her, they just like sit down and they start talking.
Yeah, this is not meant for Drew. Drew's just slamming against the wall over. He's like, no, what are you doing? You're slamming against the wall. She's just like, bam.
Yeah, Drew's like, she's like, well, now that I'm adding music to my place, like, how do you feel about like going, you know, going from being like, for me being with the kids 100% and being like a true housewife and going like back to my career? And he's like, oh, well, that was always the plan from the beginning. Like, be like, you know, like, we'll be like Ike and Tina. Oh, no. Chris, oh,
yeah.
No, sorry. No.
Yeah, sounds great.
Thanks, Ralph.
Good idea, Ralph. You fucking idiot. She's like, Ike and Tina. He's like, yeah, but like the good Ike and Tina, the good part. She's like, what good part?
He's like, yeah. He's like the normal Ike. I was like, there was no normal Ike. He was terrible from the beginning.
I don't think there was a great year for Ike. I'm just gonna just go out on a limb and say that.
How about instead of Ike and Tina, how about just like Was it your, what's your, what's that candy? Mike and Ike's? How about that? That's a much
you
better.
You know, I love a Mike and Ike.
Yeah. You know, great duo. Very functional duo.
So Mike and Ike work together great. Even when they're sour.
Yeah. So Drew tells us, she's like, Ralph definitely hit his head on one of those rocks because I thought we were Beyonce and Jay-Z, but he's saying Ike and Tina, and like, I'm not eating the cake, anime.
Beyonce and Jay-Z, you two haven't even proven that you can make lemonade. I'm not going to buy this Beyonce and Jay-Z bullshit. What are you talking about?
I can't wait for their visual album to come out. This is going to be Ralph's iPhone footage with filters.
It's going to look like the new summer house because it's just going to be all different shots of the room. It's like, you're there for me. It's like in the living room making dinner for the family, not knowing that she's being taped. I will never forget. I don't care what anybody says. I will never forget that Ralph secretly taped his family without them knowing it. That is just fucking weird.
Their visual album will just be found footage from his nanny cams that he has around. So Drew's like, well, great news. My song has 33,000 streams. He's like, yeah, that's bad. He's just like, oh, I was coming from a place of, isn't that awesome? Okay, thanks.
She's like, literally, that's terrible. And he's like, no, well, it's excellent for how we did, but there's no marketing or strategy behind it. And she's like, yeah, I'm glad you said that because remember when we had that meeting and you're like, oh my God, we should do this together and you can be the singer and then I'll produce it and like, you know, get the marketing and strategy. Remember that? Remember that part? Ralph, he's like, I've got things to do. Could you please name them? Could you please name what you're doing? I need a list of shit that Ralph is doing.
Listen, he has a book tour for The Step in Parenting, as in he's going to bring his book to a museum and take a tour with it and hold it in his hand. I'm on a book tour. You always know whenever his shoulders come up, that's when he's in trouble, when he's done something wrong. Because whenever he gets mad, he brings his shoulders up to his ears, like, I have a book tour. So his shoulders, I mean, at this point, like, his shoulders are over his head. And he's like, listen, my hands are in a lot of places, okay? I've taken the record, like, to a certain point, you know? Listen, don't talk about your hands being in a lot of places when you have a track record of disappearing to Tampa, okay? Just
yeah, it's like, my hands are in a lot of pies. Yeah, we know, okay? Stay home, please. Stay home for a night.
Stay home. Keep your hands on Drew. Yeah. Not like that. Not like that, I should say. That sounded bad in the context that we're talking about Ike and Tina. I meant like lovingly.
Oh, yeah.
Loving caresses. So Drew's like, well, we worked great as a team, as now Drew now tries to gaslight all of us.
Yeah. Did we hear the song? I guess we did hear them last week.
We heard like a little bit.
Oh, also, yeah. We're stupid, and I have to announce that, like, you guys don't already know that we're stupid, but we were making fun of last week when Ralph was going, Tiny Desk, we got to do Tiny Desk. They weren't talking about them having a song called Tiny Desk. Tiny Desk is apparently an NPR.
I thought that's what we were talking about, the Tiny Desk NPR concert, personally.
No, they said Tiny Desk, and then, I didn't know what it was. And I was like, that's stupid. They have a thing called Tiny Desk. And then we started singing Tiny Desk songs. Like, it was called Tiny Desk.
I was singing Tiny Desk, the song, because I thought it was fun to sing a song called Tiny Desk. Either way, yes.
Well, I'd like to amend that. Only one of us is stupid, because I did not know. I'm too stupid to watch NPR, okay? To me, NPR means, no problem, Ronnie. Like, if I say I'm sorry, and then you write me back, NPR, I'm like, okay. But otherwise, I'm not watching that shit.
Tiny Desk, well, either way, thank you. Like, now we know truly the depth of Tiny Desk. What I didn't realize, though, is that since we did get those messages, I was going to say something about Tiny Desk, and now I've completely forgotten, and it's totally irrelevant. So the point is this. We often have no idea what we're talking about, and that's both of us, to be honest.
You know what I like? Large desks.
Large desks.
Have Take a large that NPR desk with your How fucking tiny desk. I don't want your fucking tiny desk. Take your NPR out of here. I'm not giving you shit. How about that?
How about a wide corner desk concert? How about that? So Ralph is like, he's like, yeah, I need to focus on things. You know, there's things I need to do. And so Drew is like, music has been a testament to how we fell in love. working on music together brought us to the genesis of our relationship. But now that Ralph is kind of pulling himself out of this journey we were on together, like, I don't know. Like, wait, so we're going to blame the divorce that's going to happen, like, in a few months on him not wanting to promote your song anymore? Is that what's happening?
I mean, I think that's a good reason to get divorced. Like, I have a song. You didn't promote my song. Like, where am I on the Spotify list? I think that that's a good reason to, like, where am I on the Spotify charts? Like, that's a good reason to leave someone that. I mean, it's better that, certainly better than the whole gaslighting or emotional abuse or cheating, obvious cheating, or secretly filming you when you didn't know. I mean, this is at least a valid excuse. Where's my song on Spotify, sir? Where is it?
So she's like, I just hope it doesn't put a wedge between us because, like, you know, I didn't see it coming. You know, I would hate for it to be a wedge, unlike the other things that were not wedges, like all the things that you just mentioned, Ronnie.
You know, I thought it was funny that she considers this. I would love a wedge. By the way, if you ever want a relationship with me, put a wedge between us. I will be so in love because all I'll see is blue cheese. I'll be like, oh, my God. I'll see you through a haze of blue cheese and be so in love. God, I love a wedge. And I love iceberg. Useless ass iceberg. God, I love that. Okay. I like that she's comparing her relationship to Genesis. She's like, it's the genesis of our relationship. Guys, as a Bible reader, can I just tell you that did not end well, that chapter. Didn't end well. The world ended and then people got kicked out of fucking heaven. Okay? Like, it was not good.
And honestly, as a real world fan, I'll tell you one thing. Genesis, as a cast member, wasn't always the greatest. So, also, not a good comparison. Genesis the car, very nice.
So far.
Genesis the real world.
Where are the long-term studies? Where are the long-term
studies? Where
are? How are they?
Is it going to stay in the U.S.? Is it going to really catch on?
By the way, I think I said Genesis is where the world ends. I didn't mean end. It began there. It began there.
It
seems like it's going to be good. But then people got in trouble for eating a fucking apple. And guess what? And now today's society, that's what you're supposed to eat every day to keep the doctor away. It's not funny. Why don't we just kick the Bible in the nuts more, guys?
You know what happened in Genesis? A great flood. A great flood. Yeah, fun times.
Come on. That's from your all's half of the Bible, though. You should know that stuff.
Hey, enjoy getting eaten by a whale in Genesis. Actually, did that happen in Genesis or was that just a...
It was way later. Way later.
The whale was later.
Pinocchio's not even in the Bible, first of all, in case you thought that was the star of that chapter.
Hey, you know what happened in Genesis? You know what? There was a beautiful ball, okay? And a lady showed up, and then she disappeared at midnight, okay? So have fun. Have fun in Genesis.
So let's see. They start talking about BravoCon, and she's like, yeah, I love how she's using BravoCon as her success stick to live up to, because she's like, yeah, I mean, you really need to get my song out there, Ralph, because next year at BravoCon, I want to perform. You guys, can we just remember what those performances were like at BravoCon? They were an embarrassing joke on purpose. It was like one giant montage. The only one who took it seriously was Candace. Okay?
Yes.
Everyone else, Kenya was rolling all over the floor, singing off key, laughing at herself. It's kind of a joke. Aim higher is my point, Drew. Come on, Drew. Yeah.
So Ralph, also in the realm of aim higher, Ralph was like, whoa, BravoCon. Like someone came up to me and was like, Ralph, gaslight me. You know, that's... That they were trolling you, Ralph, right?
I
hope you realize they were trolling you.
It's not a compliment. And she's cracking up, too. She's like, oh, my God, that's so hilarious. I think I'm going to use that in my tagline.
God, yeah. So now we go to Kenya, and she is she's at home with her assistant, and she is mad about a photo that's not the right size. And she's letting her assistant and everyone hear about it.
She is yelling and being a total diva and being an asshole to her assistant, which I love because I think she thinks this is going to be cut out or something, but it's not. So she's like, did you upload the file? What is the issue? And she's got one assistant behind her, Caitlin. And she's like, well, if he crops your face, it's going to distort your face because he can't crop your face in this life. She's like, no, you should have recited. Call him. It's always a hassle with him. And so Jason gets on the phone and Kenya's yelling, it's not the right size. And he's like, oh, my God, I put it as the size you wanted. She goes, no, you need the size and the exact dimensions that I sent you. And I need it in 3 minutes, please. And you know Kenya is that client who sends you a 300-pixel, you know, 300 by 300 picture.
JPEG.
And it's like, I need this to be a billboard, you know?
Everyone thinks it's CSI where you blow it up and then you like do a thing goes and it like comes into like good resolution. It's like, it doesn't work that way. We don't have that technology yet.
Yeah.
And then she's, while she's like yelling at these, her staff, she's like, I know I'm a boss, but when it comes to the people who work for me, I feel like I'm often a mentor. Make it larger.
And she's like, yeah, especially when it comes to young people, because I really have a spot for young people. And then a customer going, I can't understand why you didn't do it right the first time.
It's low fucking resolution. I'm with you. I love this. I want more blatant diva behavior on this show, or just like any Real Housewives. Like, I just love when they're just like wretched to their staff. It just cracks me up. I think that, I don't know, is that like, is that part of being gay? Just watching like evil ladies just being crazy?
Yes, of course. Yes, it's our Joan Rivers and you know, Joan Crawford and Betty Davis.
Yes.
Or Joan Rivers. Well, she had her, you know, yes, campy too. Evilness too. Yeah.
Yeah, we want to, like, oh, that brought me so much joy seeing this scene. I was like, I want more of this, Kenya. And right. Then that she, like, tries to spin it as she's being, like, a mentor to these people. Oh, yeah. Perfect.
This is just me. Just a mentor. You idiot! Make it better! So then we get a phone call with Moneta where I think Kenya assumed, by the way, Caitlin, the assistant, just looks right at the camera and goes, she shrugs. She's like, all right.
Like, I just need my credit at Emory. I just need my credit.
So Moneta calls, and this is the part Kenya thinks they're going to start taping because her whole attitude changes.
Yes.
Moneta's like, oh my God, hi, you look pretty. She's like, hey girl, I'm just in my brand color because I just had a meeting, which went really well, didn't it, Caitlin, with Jason? Wasn't that a good meeting?
Yeah, she got into her brand color. She had a meeting with her team. That's really, like, that's dedication. So
her brand color, dark green. Is that the brand color?
I thought it was purple. Was it purple?
Oh, I wrote dark green. I don't know. Maybe I'm colorblind.
Honestly, I have. You're probably right because I'm like in the state today, and I really don't know like what's what. Like,
but
I really,
also, can I ask you why does it matter? Like, why would I even write that? Why would I get mad at someone's brand color?
And why would I challenge you on it? Just like the tiny desk thing. I was like, I knew it. It's like, why do I have to do that? Like, who cares?
Well, if you knew it, you knew it. Call it. You know? I say you win. Yeah.
I thought you knew it. So that's why I wasn't like, Ronnie, it's an NPR thing.
No, because I thought we were just joking about a song. I don't care who knows about it. I've tried with NPR. They used to have great performances, and they used to show Broadway shows, so I loved that. But they don't even do that anymore. Well, no, that's PBS. Oh, NPR, God, they're just so, like, sad and dumpy about news. I mean, they're news. Like, it's the news. It's literally people getting slaughtered. It's exciting. Make it sound exciting. They're like,
well, today on NPR.
And they always have sound effects.
People got slaughtered.
It's always, like, you hear, like, it's not only just, like, it's not only news. It's always, like, in rural Albania, Slaga needs to milk her cows for dinner. And then you hear, like, a... That's like Slaga is like
yeah, the sound effects.
Slaga tends to her cattle in the afternoons and then in the evening works on her loom. And you hear all this stuff. I'm like, I don't need to be immersed in Slaga's life.
And they also try and make you think that they're getting really deep about things that they think nobody else knows about. Like things that they're just discovering but the rest of us know. In a part of Arkansas that hardly anyone lives, the sun comes up. At 6:30 in the morning. Marla is a mother, but she's not just a mother. Get up, kids. Get out of bed, kids. Time to get up. She's a mother who also has a job. I'm like, oh, wow, a working mother, NPR? Let's just all fucking start sobbing about it because we've never heard of that shit before. Stupid
and they love,
NPR.
Like, Americana. It's like, Garrett runs Wisconsin's oldest soda jerk. And you're like, oh, great. Love to hear it. Meanwhile, like NPR is like, we want to do a profile and watch a crap. I said, we'll be there. We're there. We're ready. We've got all the sound effects ready for you guys. We got spoons. We got triangles. Whatever percussion you need. We want to make this amazing for all things considered.
Oh, God.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So Kenya's FaceTiming Manietta, and Manietta is going to LaToya's wedding. We get like a fleeting reference to LaToya. And Kenya's saying that she's going to be doing a surprise performance at a football game based on HBCUs. And she wants Manietta to choreograph it. And she says that the Magic City Classic is a huge annual football game, and they've asked her to perform. So it's a little bit of a comedy show too, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, and I love her idea. She came up with her own idea for the performance, and it's to use the marching band for Kenya Moore Hair Care, which is so funny and smart. So well done. I'm sorry I dissed your brand color, because I actually love this. I think this is a great idea. So then Candy arrives at the candy factory looking just fucking crazy. I'm not really sure what's going on.
I'm not really sure.
Candy has changed her fashion stuff this year. She's like, I'm going all out this year. I'm just going to go fucking crazy with it. And it's solid. It's solidly interesting.
Solidly interesting. Yeah, that's a great way to put it. So she and Don Juan decide they're going to make a list of things that they have to do on a whiteboard. And so
it's
they,
Candy. That's what they do. It's Candy. It's a list of all the shit that Candy has to do. That's all Candy does every season. Here's everything I'm doing. So she's doing, she has to go live for Amazon. She's doing the return of Candy Coded Nights podcast, the Soul Train Awards, Ebony Power 100 event, Candy Cares event, Blaze's birthday, Celebrity Game Face, Porsche's wedding, build a new restaurant.
Wordle.
Wordle. Gotta get Wordle. The Wordle.
Gotta go to Target. I've gotta go read about bridge chairs because I hear they might be bad for your back. I need a new stapler. And then, oh yeah, Todd's producing a movie.
Well, it does make me feel really sad about my own to-do list because I'm a loser. Okay. Mine says, find a better face swap app. Sign up for a class. Roast broccoli. Pants. Shirts. Possible greenery. Serving trays. Watermelon. Notes. Notes. And yoga with Adrienne. Passport on airline site. My life sucks. I don't do shit.
Mine's
okay.
Mine's, here's mine. Deposit check, chair pads, because I need to put little pads on the bottom of my chair legs. That way it doesn't scrape the floor. I have to do that. Mail, as in open mail. Laundry.
Open mail.
I have to tell myself to do it. It just piles up. Laundry. Ophthalmologists. I've got to mount my little fast track thing to my windshield. I haven't done that in 2 months. Gravy boat. I have gravy boat on here because I think I would like to have a gravy boat. So I would like to get a gravy boat.
I think that's self-explanatory.
AC filter. AC filter. And read more of Dune.
Yeah, I mean, we need to be more of Dune. We need to be more like Candy. I mean, I guess we already knew that, but what the hell? I don't do anything. So they talk about that. Then they talk about how Mama What's-Her-Buns Joyce was really mean to Todd and how she's really sick of this shit and she's going to finally stand up to Mama Joyce, to which I say, LOL, good luck with that. No, you won't. And I dare you. And then she's also talking about how Todd wants her to produce this damn movie for him, but she's already busy. And Don Juan's like, well, you need to give him as much energy as he gives all of your projects. To which I say, he's getting paid for it. What is Candy getting paid? Candy will be paying for this movie. Okay.
Which of the projects, which of Todd's projects are making money? I guess Old Lady Gang. I guess that was sort of a Todd project. But honestly, I think Candy's projects are a little bit more
profitable. Well, he did get nominated for a Tony with her for the piano lesson.
Yeah.
You know, in some ways, we give Todd a lot of shit, but I like that he's his partner's partner, you know? And I like that he works with Candy and does all this. He's just like, huh. I just feel like every season he's asking for stuff. You know, I'd just like for him to come back for a season and be like, you know what? I want to do this movie and I'm going to make it with all this money that I've invested. I mean, I've made from you over things that you've invested in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't mind that they're partners, but I feel like sometimes Todd is like begrudging when she does solo things or she's doing things that like are really going to be lifting up the household and the income. And then he, meanwhile, is doing like really like blatantly obvious stupid things, like that Mexican restaurant that he bought 3 years ago. Just like it's just a money pit, you know? Like sometimes you feel like you watch him making bad decisions, and then when she pushes back, he guilts her. And it's like, if you guys are gonna be partners, then there has to be a certain amount of like being open to the idea that like you came up with a bad idea.
Right. Agreed.
Mm. Yeah. It's gonna be explored on All Things Considered. Talk about things that need to be considered.
In a town in Atlanta. There was a man with a dream of opening a Mexican food restaurant.
Arriba, arriba. Order up.
As the tortilla sizzled. You could hear the sound of one man's dream. Can I borrow another $20, Candy?
Bang, bang, bang.
Sorry,
construction continues in the back room. So that's basically, and then they talk again about like Mama Joyce being mean to Todd at BravoCon, and
live your life, Mama Joyce. That's what I say. So then we go over to Drew and Ralph in the kitchen with Chef Chastity, who thankfully is not pretending to make low-calorie snacks today for Drew and Ralph. She's doing what she does best, which is cooking regular food and not just cutting a cantaloupe, okay?
Yeah. And Drew is excited because she's like, Cousin Courtney is coming over, and I'm gonna serve her this Chloe Savigny Blanc.
Glover Blanc. And Chastity's like, it's called Sauvignon Blanc. She goes, oh, that's right. I knew what that was.
So what is the deal? I have to know what the deal is with Courtney. Like, is she just super wealthy? Because why is Drew so excited to announce that Courtney is their cousin? Like, every scene she's like, our new cousin, Courtney. Like, what is Drew excited? What is she angling for out of this?
Nobody likes Drew. And Drew is desperate to have a friend. Just like Sonia. Last year, she's just gonna do whatever. Like, hey, bestie. That's how she shows up. Like, hi, Ben. We're cousins now. You can't turn against me on this show because we're family. Don't forget that. We're family. You're always gonna be nice to me. You're not gonna do what Sonia did, right? And it's so obvious. But also, I love that they're acting like they're on the cast of Salt Lake City, just finding cousins everywhere they go now.
Yeah. You know? And also, it's not even Drew's cousin, it's Ralph's cousin. So then Drew starts to FaceTime with Candace of Real Housewives of Potomac. It's a crossover episode. And Drew is saying, she's like, Candace and Chris, like, we met in 2019 and we both have a passion for music and acting. And I'm trying to develop a passion for crying into a small triangle napkin. I'm not there yet, but I'm going to be there soon.
She's someone I consider a true friend. So Candace is like, hello, you know I'm on tour, right? And so they talk about how this is so amazing. And by the way, we've played this place, so we're very glad too.
We've been there several times. We're basically two Candace Dillards in leotards just performing songs.
So she's like, well, Shamari was supposed to sing with me because basically my goal for selling tickets is to get someone from a higher rated Housewives than my own. And that happens to be your show. No one else returned my call. So you're going to do it, right? I'll let you come on and do this. Ooh, 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 ooh. Will you do that? Do that for me. Love you.
Drew's like, oh my God. I'm like so hot right now. Like, oh my God. I'm like, I haven't sung into a mic in ages. Like, oh my God, this could be my big comeback moment. When they hear me go, oh, I'm like, all the doors are going to open for me.
Did you not just record a song? Were you recording it into your iPhone? How did you sing that? How did you record the song if it were not for a microphone? I'm confused.
I don't know.
But her and Ralph are acting like she won the lottery. So she's jumping up and down. And so Drew's like, oh my God, I need to do vocal exercises. And so she starts screaming and Ralph's is just going, this is the moment. This is the moment right here. Let's have Sauvignon Blanc. She's like, it's Sauvignon Blanc. Shut up, poor Chastity.
So Cousin Courtney arrives in slow motion and she is there with her ex, Bryce, who we find out is like baby daddy slash also like best friend on and off. And Drew's like, oh my God, I know Bryce, new cousin. Everyone, I got a new cousin, Cousin Bryce.
Also, Bendier Canyon, great canyon. And Drew explains they did a movie together like 10 years ago. And they're not, you did the mother of the child thing. That's just, he's like, we're just friends. This is the mother of my child. And their daughter, Jayla, is 24, which Courtney looks good, I have to say. She looks really good.
Yeah, she does look good.
So they make some small talk, and then Courtney tells us, when Bryce and I met, he was one of the hottest men in America. He was the guy who from Groove Theory. And we dated on and off for 20 years, but now we're strictly co-parents and good friends.
It's crazy. He was in Groove Theory, and now he's an instructor at Orange Theory. Wow.
I'm trying to...
we've been to Orange Theory. Remember, that's the place where they asked us if we were day pass people, right?
So Court, so they're like, Drew's like, well, welcome to our home. And Courtney's like, wow, this is beautiful. Oh, I love it. It's an adorable little starter home. I love it, cousin. And Drew's like, she's like, first we meet cousin Courtney, and then we find out her baby daddy is my long lost co-star, Bryce Wilson. So it is definitely a divine connection at this point. I'm like, it's people on the fringes of fame coming together, trying to boost each other up. It's not a divine connection. It's just what happens.
Yeah. It's like people waiting in line, just starting to talk to each other. You know what I mean? So then they do shots, and they keep saying to family a lot. Ralph's like, let's do a shot to family. Like, which one? Are we shooting to? Are we shooting to this family, the Tampa family? Which family? Which right. family are we gonna shoot to?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Ike's family. So then Drew's like, Drew's excited that she's gonna be going to City Winery to perform. She's gonna be doing a set. And Drew is like, so she calls. She FaceTimes Candy.
She's so messy. She's so messy.
She is so messy. And then as she dials Candy, we hear in the background, we hear like Candy's voice go, I'm about to headbutt this bitch, 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 bitch.
So she's like, hi, Candy. First of all, we're celebrating family. Hi, family. Courtney, say hi. Courtney, say hi to Candy. Because Courtney has walked off. She's like, I'm not going to get messy, right? So she literally turns the phone to Courtney. She's like, look, it's Courtney, the person you hate. Look. And Candy's like, okay, so you called me. What the hell?
I know. Drew goes, what? I don't ever want to be messy. I'm not trying to bring drama with Drew. Not me. And she's like, I'm very taken aback by like Candy's reaction to cousin Courtney. I mean, I'm like, what did I miss? This had to be a really big deal to have like this energy still. Like, so I don't want to be in the middle. I'm like, you complained about the Sonia thing for like, you made sweatshirts about Sonia, okay, and now you're gonna complain about Candy. Like, how could she still have energy about something like this?
Yes. So Candy's like, whatever, see you at your stupid show, right? So then Drew asked Courtney, because she got nothing from Candy, so she asked Courtney about it, and Courtney's like, yeah, we had a little situation, but you know, I haven't even thought about it since. I mean, nothing's going on, so who cares? Mm-hmm. Which I'm impressed, you know, for a noob, that she's dropping it this quickly.
Yeah. And Courtney's like, yeah, I mean, you know, like, Drew invites Courtney to the show. And she's like, yeah, well, I mean, not if it's going to make anyone feel insecure. And, of course, Drew is like, that's the whole point why I'm inviting you. So please come, by the way.
So then they start talking about Sonia and how awkward that is. And Drew tells her, yeah, I mean, we were friends. And then suddenly she just like, I mean, we got in fights, but then we were getting better, but then suddenly she just unfollows me, and that's a big deal. That's a huge deal when you unfollow somebody. And she says she'll be my friend, but then when the rest of the group is together, it changes.
And then Bryce is just like, ugh, why did I come on this show? He's just like rubbing his face like, this was a mistake.
I know. He's so, like, oh God, we're already this messy. Come on, you guys. And Ralph is like, let's host the family! Family!
So now we have a scene of Marlo driving with her basically she's with her nephews, and she talks in the process of the scene where she goes to pick up something from the mall. She talks about how her older nephew, Quentin, died to gun violence. And she's saying that's why she's like really pushing hard for William and Michael to do well in school and to like learn their manners, because she doesn't want them caught up in that. And then she wants them to like excel in life.
And she's like, do you guys like seeing the life coach? And they're like, she goes, can you see a difference in me? I mean, we've seen her one time. I mean, has it been a huge difference? Marlo's me, like, when I've been on a diet for 2 days, and I'm like, why am I still this overweight?
<'Cause>
yes. Like, it should be over. So she's like, can you see a difference? And Michael just goes, William's like, I can see that you're trying. And then someone comes to deliver her Cartier bracelet in the rain. And, that's pretty much that, but I admired that. I admired your Cartier pickup in the rain.
Yeah, that was
good. Still don't really understand where you're getting any of your money, but I sure love to know one day. There's a Housewives tell-all that I would buy if it was honest. Marlo's.
I know. I agree. We still don't really understand any of that. So now we go over to City Winery, and Drew is there, and Candace is rehearsing, and Drew's like, oh my God, I love the song, Candace. Like, I was almost in tears when I heard it. I mean, she's so full of shit at all times. It's hilarious.
She's so fake. Candace, and Candy's so fake with her back. And, you know, it's like, thanks for maybe selling 10 extra tickets to this show. That'll be fun. And getting cameras here for national audience. That was great of you. Okay, please stop talking to me. Thanks.
Yeah, she's like, you know, people haven't always been the most supportive of my music because they only see me as an actress. You know, people look at Drew's door and they say, you know what? You better get off that Oscar track and start working for that Grammy, because we really, you know, like, they just don't understand that I'm multidimensional like that.
God, I'll run into people at a Target just trying to be a normal mom, and people will say, Meryl, hey, Meryl. Put down the dishwashing detergent and start singing a song somewhere where I can smell salmon at the same time.
People, you know, I used to have the hardest time because I thought that people were really, like, doubting my abilities. But I realized when they'd come up and say doubt, they thought I was Meryl Streep in the future film Doubt. And I was like, no, that's not me. I'm sorry. But thank you. I do hope to work with her one day.
And then they start playing really dramatic music as people arrive. And I was like, why are they playing dramatic music? It's just, oh, it's Dr. Heavenly. That's fine.
Dr. Heavenly.
I feel like Dr. Heavenly has it in her contract. Like, okay, whenever I enter a scene on Bravo, I want something really dark and menacing to play. And they're like, okay, Heavenly. Heavenly comes. It's like, dun, 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 dun.
We deserved more Heavenly, by the way, in this scene. I think that was a crime that we only got to see her walk in and there was nothing else.
I wish it was her at the table. I mean, if you're going to do crossovers, have all the Bravo stars sitting together. We don't have to pretend they don't know each other, guys. You've been talking about BravoCon half the episode. Get my Heavenly in here.
Yeah, and put in also random Bravo stars in there. Like, put in, I don't know, put in Captain Lee or something. Put in Captain Sandy. Put in anyone. Just see what happens, you know?
No, but now that you say it, I say put Dr. Heavenly on every below deck as a captain.
Oh, as a captain.
Yeah, as a captain.
That would be great.
I said put the fenders down. Why aren't you putting the fenders down? God damn it. Three shackles.
I love Heavenly. Okay, so Marlo, let's see. Sonia's, you know, everybody's gathering.
Everyone's
Sonia's
arriving.
Saying it's so Drew's so frustrating, but she just wants good vibes today. And then Marlo, just sweet Monte Arlo, Marlo, is like, you know, I just know that Candy's probably still mad at me from the reunion, and that's fine because I know that with Candy, it just takes time. Now, if I was a man, it wouldn't take as much time. And if I was a chicken wing, it would definitely not take as much time.
Don't know why she's still mad at me, though. So Marlo goes to the bathroom for a moment. And Sonia's like, so where are we at with Marlo? I just want to take the temperature of the room. Want to know whose side I should be on. And Monietta's like, well, I give her a fake. I give her one of these, like a smile, like, go fuck yourself, you know? Because Monietta is really mad from last year when they went to Jamaica. And basically, Marlo said, oh, Monietta's coming to talk to me because Candy gave her permission. So Monietta really didn't like that she's being painted as like a minion of Candy. So she's pissed at Marlo for that.
Even though she is one. Okay. So then Candy's like, you know, Courtney comes and Candy's like, not even going to try. She's like, that girl can keep pushing. I'm like, I don't need friends. So fuck her.
Right.
So then they're like, well, where's Sheree? And then we find out Sheree is called in sick. And then we cut to Chateau Sheree. And it's like lightning and like classical horror music. It's like
a haunted house.
Chateau Sheree. And she's like, I know I'm missing an opportunity to see my girl flop it like Drew, but I'm a little under the weather.
Oh, so good. So then we go back. Now it's like, welcome to the stage, Candace. So Candace gets on stage. She's performing her songs. And Drew is like, it has been so long since I've been on stage because I've just been focusing on being a mother of three, you know, turning down roles to work with Nicole Kidman and Annette Bening. And it's just been so hard. And now it's like my time to like make music my career. That's what I'm going to do. And if I can do this tonight, if I can sing for 8 seconds on a stage, I'm on my way to my dreams.
Yeah. So they announce her. Now, Candy, this is how I'm going to start doing our shows. I'm going to come out in a really long blonde wig, and I'm just going to stand in front of a fan. That is the best thing ever. I love that she's Jennifer Lopez-ing it up at fucking City Winery. Where's the fan? Where is it? Who's holding it? Where's the air coming from? How strong is the fan?
It's Chris. Chris is holding up like a Black & Decker fan. He's just like trying to follow her movements.
I'm getting that fan. I love that. City Winery, if you have some fan action you've been hiding from our asses, I'm getting that fan next time. Jerks. Next time.
Yeah.
So Drew's performance. Okay. So they do this call and repeat thing where Candace is like, I'm going to love me. And then Drew's like, I'm going to love me. And then she goes, I'm going to love me. 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 Okay, thanks for coming. Bye. Go.
Yeah, give it up for Miss Drew Sidora.
Goodbye.
And everyone's like, wait, what?
Goodbye, Miss Drew Nomura. Goodbye. You're done. You're done.
I know. It wasn't even like a duet. It was just like it wasn't even feel like a song.
There was no music. Play any music.
So everyone's like, huh? And Drew goes, this moment is giving me life. Like, I'm ready for life. Like, I'm ready for tour. Sign me up. Okay, I can do it. Tiny desk tour? How about tiny song tour? How about that?
Okay, A, where's Drop It with Drew? Why have we not heard about it? Even one
Drop
time.
Drop a single with Drew.
The entire time. The Step-Parent Book with Ralph. Where is that? We haven't heard about that. Also, you need more than one single. You can't just go on tour with nothing. You have to do something, Drew. You have to actually do some fucking work, Drew.
When they say release a single, they don't mean a single bar of music, okay?
But after being a total bitch to Drew, I will say Drew can legit sing. I think she's a really good singer. So
she can. It just was funny. Like, it was so short. And then I have to say, because then Sonia, they're all like, Kenya's like, well, I need more than a woo, woo, woo. And I'm all like, woo, 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 woo. But then Sonia goes, she's like, I'm not sure what that was, but I do know that I ran longer to clinch my 400 meter gold medal than Drew was on stage. And I was like, oh, here's Sonia with her medals again. But then they actually showed the time that she ran the race and how long that Drew was on stage for. Sonia's race was literally 6 seconds longer than Drew.
Yeah. So then Candace starts doing her like big hit. She's like, oh my gosh. I love that song. So, but what's funny about it is she starts doing that and then everybody just gets up and leaves. They're like, okay, we saw our friend. Bye. We're not sitting for this whole fucking show. And as we know, people who have had a lot of housewives at their show, that is how they are. They're like, okay, our part's done. Bye.
Bye. Bye. We were hoping for Trina. Doesn't look like she's going to be showing up. We got Drew instead. So,
also, we don't fucking blame them. Okay. That's a good way to do it. So they go back, and Ralph has flowers for Drew. And they're so excited. He's like, oh, my God, now it's time for your moment. And Drew's like, yeah, Candy's not going to be the only one with a Grammy much longer.
Much longer. No. So then everyone's like backstage and Courtney's like, you did so good. And Candace is.
Worse. Actually, I'm sorry because I said that they got up and left. They didn't. So Candace starts singing her main song, and then Drew comes into her table, and they all start screaming in the middle of Candace's song. And Courtney's like, oh my God, that was amazing. It's like, wow, Candace is going to fucking kill all of you people.
I know. So then they go upstairs to like the restaurant area, and Kenya's like, so explain why you only had a small woo-woo moment. And Drew's like, oh, because it's her set. So it was just like a cameo. It just like I just came to support my friend, you know, just do a little like, you're beautiful. And then it's over. And they're like, thanks. We drove all the way out of here. And so by Kenya's like, oh, we're so proud of you, Drew. Like, we just wanted to see more of you. Listen, it's hard to make fun of you if you don't give us a lot to make fun of. So just give us a full song next time.
We need material, okay? Can't sew a pretty dress without material. Please sing something for us. Also, I have no basis for this. My guess is that Candace did give her something and she didn't learn it. That is my guess.
She
came and was like, I'm too nervous to do it. I don't know all the words. Can I hold my phone and read the words? And Candace probably was like, we'll do 2 seconds. Okay? Fucking A.
That is a great theory, and I can totally see that playing out, you know?
Yeah,
I can see Ralph on the Casio trying to play it, like trying to help Drew Long. Like, no, the lyric is to the car, not that.
And that really comes from nothing except Drew's own kind of like, I'm going to win a Grammy and I've got one song that has 30,000 listens on Spotify. So Drew, basically they're all supportive of her, and Kenya jokes that Sonia gave her a standing ovation. Well, she wasn't joking, but she's trying to start, right?
Yeah.
Sonia gave her a standing ovation, and Sonia's like, oh yeah, you know, the performance was incredible, but what happened at BravoCon? Like, what the hell? Like, you send me a text to come to your mom's birthday, and then you switch into actress mode, and you have to, like, turn up and make it an issue again. To which I say, now I have to stand up for Drew, because they asked her the question at BravoCon, and she answered the question. You're at BravoCon. You're performing. You have to be just as shady as the moment the thing happened. It's like a reunion, you know?
Yeah, and also, like, as ridiculous as it is, Drew is obviously having a moment. She's very happy. So, like, why are you confronting her right now? Except, obviously, it's a reality show. She has to do it. But it's one of those things like, but why? So Drew is like, I thought we were on a path of moving forward. And I guess when I dropped that merch, which I thought was funny, you unfollowed me. And, it, like, there really wasn't any smoke. And we see that, like, Drew had this merchandise that she made that said on the front, Drew Sidora. And on the back, it said, she invited me and then she uninvited me. I was like, is that merch worthy?
That's not. I mean, that's a terrible shirt. It's like the rival. It's like the terrible shirt versus the terrible shirt. Because Sonia's is bop, 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 bop. And hers is, she invited me and then she uninvited. You guys, these are not trademark worthy things. Okay?
Bop, bop, bop is more, is a little bit more of one. Like,
but
at least bop, bop, bop is like,
bop, bop, bop is not theirs. It's like,
right.
Been
but like, she
forever.
Invited me and then she uninvited me. That's like, it was not, that wasn't like a thing ever. Wasn't people like, oh my God, when Drew said that, that was so funny. There's like no wordplay. It wasn't a thing that caught on. It wasn't even like, it just wasn't a thing. So like, why is that the merch? Why?
The battle
why,
of
Drew?
The bad merch. My God. So they're trying, but this is also a housewife show where the other cast members have been on so long that it becomes rote, right? It's like, okay, here we are. We're all back. We're all together at a group event. We're going to fight. So Sonia, you gave her a standing ovation. Sonia, go ahead with your Drew storyline. You can roll. It's like, okay, can you give them to go ahead? Let's try and have a fight. Then they move into the BravoCon fight. And then they're like, okay, we're not going to fight. So they're like, okay, who's next? Who's next up on the fight? It's like,
yeah,
come on.
So Sonia clarifies that she unfollowed because when Drew like flipped her hair during the reunion, like Sonia was felt really disrespected by that. So
and then made a joke on her social that said, "Don't say." She said something like "flipping my hair at the flip flopper" or something. So then Sonia saw that and was like, "Oh really? I'm unfollowing the follower." Dun dun dun.
Yeah, because she didn't want to see disrespectful things on her timeline, but she doesn't flip or flop. And then they both agree they don't want to go to the past. They're like, it's season. Hey, listen, it's your second season. It's my third season. We got a long way to go. So let's squash this beef. They're like, squash that beef. Squash that beef. Squash that beef. And they do. So they hug, actually. It's like actually like fine.
So then they're all bored. Marlo's like, God, they're so boring. Marlo and Kenny are like, God, this is draining. Lame. So then Drew is like, okay, well, who's next to fight? So Candy's like, well, I hear that. Listen, this is coming in between my, except my Tony Award for the piano lesson and Ebony's Top Power 100 list. This is right in the middle of that to-do list. So fight with Courtney about some shit I don't care about. So I guess you're saying I'm ghetto. Did you say I'm ghetto? What'd you say?
She's like, she's basically like, ugh, I could either go home and help Todd with a script or I could fight with Courtney. So I guess I'm going to choose to fight with Courtney. Yeah. So Sonia's like, yeah, you know, Courtney, you said that like that Candy went to some event and like the people she brought were like, quote unquote, hood or quote unquote ghetto. And Courtney's like, yeah, I said that because first of all, I was born in the hood. And so Candy's like, so then why would you say that then? Right.
And said, well, that's not what I said. I said that Ghetto started to come to the event, which was true. And also I doubled down and said, I love it because my family's hood. I mean, I can show you my family, their hood.
I was like, oh, you're making this worse.
I know.
And at least be bold enough to just stop with, it was true. And that's it. Like, I was talking shit about you, and I didn't think that Sonia was going to take every fucking word I said while she sat there laughing about it and then go tattletale on me. Why don't you say that? Why are you trying to pretend you didn't say it? Come on, Courtney.
Yeah, and don't try to act like you were saying, like, oh, Candy went to an event, and all these people that reminded me of who I grew up with showed up. It was nice. Touching. You were saying it in, like, a pejorative way.
It was touching. I hope that Candy puts on her Instagram next time I have a party so that my lovely family will show up. God, I love them.
So Candy's like, let's be clear. If people started to come, that's whoever's event it was should have been glad that people came out to support them. And I have a long range of friends. Did you not hear my tagline? My branches are worldwide. I am a wise old tree. And you should never say things that look down on the places that you come from.
Yeah. And Courtney's like, you are so triggered. You're so triggered. And she's like, the thing that bothers me is that you don't know me. And how about you're saying that I brought the ghetto out. I brought everybody out. And she's like, you are the ghetto. You just told us. And Candy's like too mad for this new girl. But again, I think Candy came into this season like, listen, people are not going to call me boring and say all I do is promote my businesses. I will be fighting this season. So now she's just even going for Courtney. And then she's like, okay, and that's been 5 minutes. I'm clocking out. Bye.
Sorry, I've got a luncheon for Tony nominees, so I'll be right back.
Yeah.
So, and then meanwhile, Ralph is like talking to Chris. He's like, whoa, Chris, wow. So you guys have an area on the bus that you can like go in the back and like get it in, like pull the curtain back. You know, you got to bless the bus, right, Chris? And Chris, and then Heath, who's Monietta's husband's like, the 1,000 mile club. And then Chris is like, yeah, well, you know, it's kind of tough for like 10 motherfuckers on the bus, am I right? I'm like, oh my God, these three.
The sad husbands. So then back to the ladies. Sonia's like, so in the spirit of talking stuff out, Monietta, I asked you at the table what issues you had with Marlo, and you said Marlo tried to play you. And it's like, this is just like the audition of storylines nobody cares about. They're just like turning the lazy Susan. Nobody really wants to fight, and nobody really cares. And you guys, it's only episode 3. You're going to need to make some effort here, because this is just sad. Okay.
We can't have Monietta anchoring the final 5 minutes of this show, right? So Monietta brings up the Jamaica thing, and she's saying how, like, it's not right for Marlo to talk behind people's backs, which is literally what this franchise is about, Monietta. This is why you don't have a peach. And Marlo is like, listen, you said I had nothing to do with you and Candy's issues. And, like, you said, Marlo, as long as you're respectful to me, all that matters. And Monietta's like, well, you weren't. It was about kindness. It's about kindness. Marlo's like, okay, is that all you had to say to me, beautiful? Is that it? Because this is really not going to cut it. Okay, we're supposed to have a bigger fight right now.
Yeah, she's like, why did they bring you back? And then it just cuts to Kenya kind of smiling politely, like trying to be supportive of Monietta, but also being like, yeah, this isn't going to work. So then Drew's like, okay, well, so Candy, what's going on with Blaze? Because there were like a couple days before I heard some stuff, and Marlo's like, what happened? And Drew goes, oh, there was like an incident or something. It was all over the news. And Candy's like, they're fine. And Marlo goes, oh, you mean the shooting that happened at Blaze? Is that what we're talking about?
The shooting with the gun? And Candy's like, it's a private matter. And so Marlo's like, well, I'm ready to go home because Candy Burst can never talk about what she wants to talk about. So Candy, and then Candy's like, well, then let's talk about the girl you cut in the face. Okay, how about that?
God, that was fucking low. But, you know, again, Marlo starts it, and then she gets mad. So she's like, well, everyone loves to bring up my past. My mugshots allegedly dating old white men, the boys, my mom. But when it comes to Candy, they sweep it under the rug. Well, the difference is those are all examples, almost, of things that you did. This is not an example of something Candy did. If Candy shot somebody in the Blaze restaurant, okay. But why are you coming at her for something just happening in her restaurant?
Also, like, why do you want Candy to be like, oh, yes, let me tell you about our restaurant that's not doing well. And then on top of that, someone tried to shoot our chef. Like, who wants to talk about that happening at their restaurant, you know?
Yeah. And then Marlo's, basically it ends. Marlo's like, well, I gave you a lot of attention. And Drew's like, guys, this is supposed to be a night of music, even though I just tried to start this fight myself. It's a night of love. I sang four lines of something. So, and Courtney just starts yelling, Drew, you were amazing. And then they leave and it looks like the show's over. But then it says 30 minutes after production wrapped. And here comes Marlo. Now, look. You know, earlier I was like, yeah, Marlo, it's episode 3. Here's where she really comes out and we find out she hasn't changed at all. Now, that's true. But that said, at least she's trying because something has got to give. My God. So here comes Marlo to try.
Yeah. And so Marlo is talking to Drew. It's sort of like they're just sort of like finishing up at City Winery. And she's like, why didn't you say shooting? Why are we kept saying like incident? And Drew is like, time out. I wasn't there. And Marlo's like, time in. Why didn't you say shooting? And Drew's like, well, everyone knows it was in the news. I didn't have to say it. And then Marlo's like, but we are a family. And I'm going to ask you a question. And I need you to understand this. Okay. So listen now while I'm quiet. Okay. Like now talk. Now talk.
Yeah. She's like, Ralph, you be a witness. And Courtney, you're another witness that I'm listening and being quiet while she's talking. Okay, so she sits in a chair. She just puts like a chair in the hallway and just sits there and stares at Drew, who is, by the way, trying to exit. She's at the exit door. Marlo has just pulled out a folding chair. So Drew's like, look, it's somebody getting shot at, you know, like I've had my family shot at. I'm from Chicago. And of you, of all people, like if you've experienced that, why would you want me to make an issue of that? I don't understand what you're getting at. And
but
then
But Drew was trying to make an issue of it, by the way. So why is she acting like she wasn't trying to make an issue of it? But like, you know, it's sort of a kind of an odd fight there.
Well, Drew doesn't even know what's going on because Marlo couldn't start a fight with Candy, who's who she wants to fight. So now she's starting a fight with Drew, who has nothing to do with fucking anything. So now she's making the fight. Oh, you brought it up and you refused to say the word shooting. So just explain it. And Drew's like, why am I fighting with you? Which we find out is so that Marlo can do this monologue and storm out and have a big dramatic moment. But it makes no sense that she's fighting with Drew about this. It's crazy.
Yeah. So she's like, she tells us she's triggered by the gun violence and everything. So Drew is like, you know what, this silence, whatever you're doing here, because Marlo's being quiet, pretending to listen. And so Drew is like, this silence isn't real. So Marlo's like, it is. So you're just going to walk away? You're just going to walk away? And Drew's like, well, I said what I have to say. Like, what do you possibly have to say? And she's like, if you feel like you're not going to make a moment, you're going to disrespect me the way you disrespect her. I'm not trying to turn up. My nephew is dead, and he used to work in one of her restaurants.
And then we get a boom. Like, okay, that's sad. It's like, it's why sad. Are you yelling at Drew still? So then Marlo tells us, when Drew brought up the shooting, I just thought of Quentin in his chef outfit looking so proud. So basically 2 years ago, she texted Candy to tell her that her nephew, Quentin, who worked for you, he got shot at home by his roommate. And she didn't even care. But then we see the text it says, damn. Candy Yams. ! Did you have a guy named Quentin McNeil working for you at Old Lady Gang? And Candy says, yes, but he doesn't anymore. And she said, that was my nephew. He just got killed last night. And Candy says, oh, really? And Marlo says, his mom just said he worked there. Roommate. He got killed last night. And she said, damn, I'm so sorry to hear that.
That's like, now, I don't think there's anything wrong with that response because it was sort of presented, like, if you present something like, hey, have you heard about this person? You're like, oh, yeah,
hey,
yeah, I remember that.
Hey, Candy,
it's like,
Yams.
Well, they died. They died. You go, oh, damn, sorry to hear that. Like, I feel like that, I think Candy's response was like that pivot you do and you're like, oh, I didn't realize you were setting me up for actually like a very sad text. Like, what do you, it wasn't presented like, oh my God, I have some terrible news. Like, I just found out my nephew was killed and I'm like, really, I'm so sad. And he used to work in your restaurant, in fact. I think Candy would have been like, oh, that's, I'm so sorry. Do you need anything? But it was like, hey, have you ever heard of this person? Yeah, they just got killed. So it's like, I support Candy's response.
Well, she's basically just says, I'm sorry to hear about that, right? Like, what are you going to do? So Marlo's like, then when I saw her the next day, she pretended she had no idea what I was talking about. And we see unaired footage from 2 years ago. And so we see Marlo saying, oh, the other night my phone was blowing up. And Candy's like, why? And she goes, oh, from my sister, because she said, call me because they just killed your nephew. And, you know, he was 30 and he lived here in Atlanta. And the guy, a roommate, got into it with him and then he murdered him. And Candy goes, damn. And she goes, isn't that sad?
First of all, this conversation sounded so casual.
Yeah.
In general. But second, I'm not judging really Marlo on how, I don't know why
how
I'm
she's
saying
grieving
that.
Or whatever.
Because she's bringing it into question is the only reason I'm commenting on it.
I'm just saying, like,
but
just
I'm not
as
questioning
we
that. I'm just saying it was weird. It was a weird scene. I can see why it's unaired. And it also seemed like Candy was saying, okay, well, tell your story, and not saying, you already told me that. Because if Candy had said, I know, you told me already. Like, yeah. I think she's letting you have your scene. But now Marlo's making it like, oh, Candy never cared, and she doesn't care about the shooting. Yeah. And now she doesn't want to talk about shooting. Well,
there's
but
no
this was a
that.
Shooting of her nephew, wasn't it? Isn't that...
It was her cousin.
Her cousin,
but like,
right.
But I just didn't, honestly, I just didn't see any evidence that Candy didn't care. I felt like Marlo was telling it. And like you said, you know, people are going to process stuff in different ways. And like, it's not up to us to like judge how she presents the information, but also like, maybe we also shouldn't judge the way Candy received it. Cause Candy is just like, oh damn. Okay. Like, I guess maybe Marlo wanted more of a, like an outpouring, I guess. But I also feel like it's not crazy to sort of try to match the tone that you're being presented with when you're in a
that
serious
that was 2 years ago. Marlo is grasping, period. Marlo is grasping at shit now. Like, all this time later to try and have a fight, and it's not working out for her, so she's having a fit in the middle of a hallway at Drew, someone who's not involved at all. It's ridiculous, and it's try hard. And so she's like, well, Drew goes, you're not... She's like, you come on now. So she's like, well, nobody can make Candy talk about anything, but... And she gets away with it. But guess what? I'm calling you out. She didn't shoot anybody. What the fuck are you on about? So she goes, feel my heart. My heart is beating. I'm like, are you acting? Are you for real? Well, my nephew died. You can Google it. And Drew's like, you're not going to do this with me. And she goes, no, my nephew's dead. My blood nephew is dead. And then she starts screaming, my blood nephew is dead. And then she storms out and she's like, my blood nephew is dead, bitch. Fuck you. It's like,
yeah. She's like, this bitch doesn't know when to cut off the acting. This bitch is acting. And then, to be fair, Drew, like, turns to the camera and is like, she gives, like, this look to the camera, like, what?
She's like, what the fuck is that? And, I mean, I'm Team Drew on that. What the fuck are you doing, Marlo? And talk about disrespectful of somebody's, like, bad news. Jeez, lady. Yikes.
I think that, like, it's Marlo's whole thing where she just feels like people don't... They just ignore the shit in her life or something like that. I don't know. But yeah,
let Candy get away with everything. If it was something Candy was getting away with, I guess. But I just don't see how a shooting in Candy's restaurant is something that Candy needs to have a big dramatic fight with you over. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah. I mean, like, I get why Marlo would be triggered, right? But like, I just felt like a...
I get why you would be sad about your nephew being killed. Of course, I get that.
But, like, I agree. I feel like this was, like, I don't think that felt a little bit like this whole, like, getting mad at Drew about it felt like a stretch. Like, getting mad that Drew didn't say the word shooting, I felt like seemed like a stretch. Yeah. So, anyway, along those lines, on that note, I should say, that's the segue I want. We're done. That's the end of the episode. Everyone, thanks so much for listening and for watching. Remember to check out Crappins On Demand to get access to these videos a week before they go onto YouTube on patreon.com/watchercrappins and go to watchercrappins.com to get tickets to our live shows, only 6 left. And appreciate you all being here, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C.
Dana Do.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You're never alone with Lacey Monteleone.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
The Bay Area Betches
bitches.
And our super premium sponsors, the incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Erica 500 Days of Summers.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch Her Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.